Let me tell you something. Next season, you're gonna have to add a little more a little more time to that, because I'm a little slower this season, okay? I can't move the way I used to be able to move.
Look, I asked you, did you want me to revamp for this season? Yeah. Like, no. Keep it the same thing.
Ooh, TT out of breath.
Oh man, y'all, we always come up here cutting up at the beginning. It be her, it don't be me, y'all. I be trying to come up here professional and ready.
This episode is a little heavy, so yeah. I had to bring the laughter just a tad, because I'm gonna have to sit back for this one, because
that's why you're gonna be the one with the questions today, because
my belly ain't cooperating.
I'm not doing it. No, I know this I do the question. No,
yeah, because I'm about to say how I got no
I do.
See how she treat me, y'all.
Yeah, man. Y'all, listen. We took the questions down this season because we was like, you know what? We be at that hour. Nobody gonna be listening to us for no doggone hour. So we had to take it down.
I don't care. Blemish Beauty style. We be talking.
We on breaking the silence time this time, y'all.
Yeah, we trying to keep season 3 under 40 minutes, y'all. We trying, because we be on the phone, as Nasir would say, for a lot of numbers. Our episodes ain't no different.
I'm done. So today, y'all, we talking about toxic love, right? Toxic love in relationships and friendships and pretty much all the way across the board, right? So sis, what does toxic love mean to you? And how does it differ from, you know, a healthy attachment?
So for me, toxic love is something that is the opposite of what gives you peace, right? So if you're in a situation, whether romantic or platonic, because love can come in all forms, right? You know it's toxic when it battles your peace, when it battles your inner calm, when it battles your values and your mindset. And it there's a difference between a challenge and a battle. Like, a challenge will be something that give you thought, something that'll probably give you a reason to grow, or, you know, pique an interest, or, you know, give you an inkling like, oh, well, maybe I need to change that. But a battle is something that you struggle in, like a match down, drag out, like fisticuff, all kind of fight. So if it's to the point where you find yourself fighting emotionally, mentally, physically, psychologically, financially, that's toxic to me.
Did y'all hear that? Y'all, I was trying to find something to write down this right.
Don't you start with the shenanigans. Don't you start.
I was like, wait a minute. I said, I'm going to type it in the computer. She said there's a difference between a challenge and a battle. What? Did you just drop that like that and think I'm supposed to come behind you? Whew. So anyway, so y'all, toxic love to me is something that I've experienced all my life.
Sure.
Whether it was a friend, whether it was a relationship, it's always been some type of toxic within it. Now I'm in a moment in my life now where I don't want nothing. I don't want no parts. Like, I don't. If it's drama, I'm running. If it's toxic, I'm running. Now, some things I might, you know, lean in a little bit, like, what'd she say? What happened? You know, you get that. You get a little nosy sometimes. You be wanting to know what's going on. But do I want any parts of it? No, don't call my name in it now. Don't you call my name.
I want to watch it, but I don't want to be a participant.
No, Nikki was not there. I was not there. I just was listening. But I feel like, you know, being toxic can mean, it's so many levels of toxic though. Like, that's just like somebody call you on the phone. Everybody go through this. Somebody call you on the phone and be like, let me tell you about so-and-so. And you on the phone listening, you know, getting all the tea, all the tea. That one right there. Get out.
That will be me. Call me, baby, guys. I want the tea.
She be like, I got some tea for you. I be like, what? Call me. So they go me again. Don't call my name in it, but I'm going to listen. I'm there for it.
We listen and we don't judge, okay?
That's it. I may be like, you know, what'd you say about it? You know, what'd you do? I may have questions, but, you know, hey, everybody got their own life to live. So, and everybody got to deal with their life. But toxic comes in so many forms. Like, you could be that friend that heard somebody talking about your friend, and then you come and run back and tell your friend that that person talked about them, that person that they thought was their friend talked about them. You toxic. Look at sis looking at me. Yeah, that's toxic, right?
Nah. Because it depends on who it is. Because somebody talking about you,
that's toxic, and sis.
I'm telling. I don't care who it is. I'm telling. Now, sometimes, though, that'll get you on the outside looking in, because especially if it's a relationship, right? If it's a relationship, people get real funny when they romantically mingling with others, and you try to suggest a certain way they should go, or you make a suggestion about how said person is, they'll stop talking to you.
That's why I tell you, mind your business.
This my man, or my woman, okay. Don't come back, Esmodee. Don't come back here.
Come back over here.
When you find out I was right, okay? Because you should listen, because I'm going to pow-pow you on your forehead and tell you should have listened to me when I told you, because sometimes you got to understand that a lot of people that's given to us is given to us by God.
Amen.
And if you don't have sense in a certain area, God is going to give you somebody that does have sense in that area. So sometimes you need to, and the Bible does say, seek wise counsel. So if you have people in your life who you consider wise and they tell you a certain thing, you should have discernment enough to know, okay, well, this person is not leading me astray. This person is telling me this. So let me kind of, even if you don't want to listen, let me kind of just put it in the forefront of my, or the back of my mind, just in case. Let me have my antennas up, because maybe they see something that I don't see, because when you in love, you run right into the fog, baby.
What?
You'll run like fast into the fog and don't know what's on the other side. But your friends can see past the fog, around it and all that. So they see what's going on, and you just, my man. It's my man. I'm in love with my man or my woman. Look. And then you'll be coming out looking like Boo Boo the Fool.
That's why I tell you to mind your business, sis.
I can't help it.
Mind your business. Listen.
You know why? Because I've been in a lot of relationships that served me no purpose. And I, again, we talked about this last week. I want people to do, or I expect people to act the way I would, right?
Right.
And I feel like if you know this person is not good for me,
better tell.
First of all, you know I ain't going to listen. But still, drag me out of there. Drag me out the burning house. Don't let me go in there, because I'm talking trash. Like, no, the house, it's just fire at the top. It ain't going to come all the way down to the bottom. That's me. I need you to drag me out, because you can't see when you are blinded. And you need those type of people. And I'm the person that's going, listen, you go in that door if you want to. I'm dragging you, but everybody is not like that. And I feel like I would have avoided a lot of stuff had I had those type of people back then to drag me out of there, because I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
But you know, our parents are like that. Our parents tell us things. They tell us things because they see it coming before it comes, right? But what do? We're hard-headed, right? So we do what we want to do, and then next thing we know now why mom tried to stop us from doing what we did. Mm-hmm. Same thing in friendships and relationships. Same thing. But like I said, that's why I'm learning to mind my business. That's it. Easy peasy. All right, so let's shift to y'all. So why do sometimes you think people feel addicted to the people that hurt them?
I can't see people, but I'll say for me, because I have been there. You get addicted to the idea of a thing, not necessarily the person, but the idea or the potential of what that person is providing. So like, i.e., let's say you're in a domestic violence situation. You're not addicted to the person. You're addicted to the dream that was sold to you. The possibility of this could be my happily ever after, but we might have to go through some growing pain. So this is the growing pain that I might have to endure in order to get to the other side. Not knowing that whatever God has for you is not going to be toxic. It's not going to be hurtful. It's going to grow you up. You know, it might shake a little bit of things where you are concerned as far as your mental, how you maneuver said things, but it's not going to cause you any physical or mental harm. So I think people are more addicted to what's being told to them, the dream that's sold, and their idea of what they think stuff is, because a lot of the times we grow up with these fictitious mindsets of what love and happily ever after look like because we don't know no better. And it's not until we get into that said situation that we know this happily ever after looking kind of strange. It's feeling kind of heavy. This ain't it. But after that, that helps you to realize, oh, this was it the whole time. This is totally different from what I'm used to. So it's necessary in some cases, especially if you're hard-headed like me.
That part. But see, like I said in the last episode, I grew up wanting to have friends. Mm-hmm. I desired to have friends. So with me, I think it comes from not really being addicted, but wanting people around you that you think they care about you or love you, and you get used to having them around. You get used to the way they treat you, whether, you know, it's good or bad. And you're like, I can't find another Sarah. I can't find another Bob. When in reality, you can find somebody better than them. Somebody that's going to treat you right. But instead, you want to hold on to your small circle that you think love you. So you're not really necessarily addicted. You just used to having them around. But when you get older, you start seeing things for what it really is. You call a spade. You start saying, you know what? Sarah really ain't good for my life. I like to go to out to eat, but I don't like to go to the club. I like to go bowling. I don't necessarily like going to the bar. Why do I keep doing this stuff with Sarah when I know that this is not what I like to do? So then you start to growing apart. That's when you start growing apart from these people. You stop dealing with these people. And then you start meeting people that really align with you. And you don't have to ask them to go bowling with you because you already know they want to go bowling. They like to go bowling. They like to go out to eat. They like to go to the library or whatever you like doing, because that's where you met to begin with. So you just start seeing life in a different realm when you start getting older, when it comes down to people in general. You no longer want to be hurt. You no longer want people around you that's going to hurt you either. But a lot of us, it takes a lot of time for us to get to the points in our life too. It took me a long time, 45 years of my life, to realize that I really did not need certain people around me, and I didn't have to have certain people around me. I could create a whole new circle, period.
Yeah, it's a scarcity mindset, because when you're young and you feel like you have these set of friends, these are going to be a set of friends, you're going to hold on to them for dear life. Like, I mean, suffocate the mess at them. And then, like you said, as you grow, you hit different stages of your life, you start to evolve, you start to change, you start to find other things and that you like, and you start to have not just home girls and homeboys, but you have co-workers and colleagues. And then you find, oh, I like this, and such as we did this and this. So you start to add to your palate. But then you have to also realize that it's okay to let go of what you had, because now you're entering into a new space and God is going to bring people again to add to where you are now. So it's a constant evolving, you know, door. It's kind of like if you're on a bus or a train or whatever the case may be, you have certain people that's riding with you to a certain stop. Then they get off, Then you have other people that come on and ride with you to the next stop. Then they get off. And then some people is riding with you from the beginning to the end of the stop, you know? So it's like you have to understand when it's time to let those people off at their destination and be okay with knowing that if you continue to evolve and grow and be whoever you're going to be, God is going to bring more people and more people. And some of these people might stay and some of these people might go, but be okay with the ones that's going because they're going for a reason. They're not meant to go where you're going. They were only meant for you to enjoy them at that particular spot where you were at then, you know?
But you know what? That's just like how I keep talking about the elevator. You start off at the first floor. You go to the second floor. You people get on, keep people get off. You know, I'm ready to see who's going to be at that top floor of me. I can't wait for that day to come because I want to see if it's people that's been riding me from day one or if it's going to be people that I picked up along the way that's going to be at the top of me enjoying the fruits of my labor. I can't wait. I really can't wait to see that day. It's coming soon, y'all. Coming soon. Mark my word. So why do we sometimes excuse the toxic behavior? Because from friends, from relationships, you know, more easier, you know, from our partners than we do our friends, though. I already know the answer to that one now, but you go ahead.
I feel like, again, we feel like we need those people. It's a scarcity mindset. Like when you have certain friends, you feel like, okay, well, this is my A1, day one. You know, I've known this person 20 years, 15 years, or whatever the case may be. And this is just something, in order to have a lasting, long relationship, you got to go through stuff. You can say that with a friendship because it's easier and they don't require you to be anybody but yourself, right? But then when you're in a romantic space, now you feel like, oh, well, this person trying to change me or whatever the case may be. And you're easily to kick them to the curb. But this person been violating you for years. You ain't kicked them to the curb. But people like to dwell in atmospheres that don't require them to change. And it's easier to sit in your everyday, to sit in your comfort than to grow and evolve and step out of your comfort zone because there's a fear that it may not be no better, but the reality is it is going to get better. So when you start to learn how to remove and be okay with removing whoever it is, romantic or platonic, you realize that that's beneficial, not just for them so they can find their people. It's beneficial for you because then you're learning how to embrace your tribe and then you're evolving and growing into the person that God has designed you to be.
But see, I don't know. I don't think that it should be a difference between the two, honestly. If they're wrong for you, let them go. Now, but that's where I'm at right now, though. Now, back in the day, though, I used to let them all stay around, whether it was a partner, whether it was a friend. They stayed, regardless of what they did to me. Now, no, let me take that back. The people I was in a relationship with got gold first over the friend, like literally. Because if you cheated on me, you was out. Like, it was no question about it. You was gone. Number changed the next day. Like, gone. But, like you said, them our A1s, D1s. Mm-hmm. So we think that, you know, oh, they got our back. And we keep them around because they know us. It's familiar. I don't think it should be easy. But now the way I'm feeling like, let everybody go. Kick all to the curb. Shoot. So how did you navigate the guilt, the grief, or fear after leaving once you decided, you know what, I'm gone, I'm out?
I had a lot of guilt with navigating because, you know, like you said, you want people to stay for sentimental reasons. You know, I've known this person since I was in high school. I've known this person since I've had my kids, and especially now, and the situation that I'm in, I've learned that every time I've had a child, there has been a different person to be my emotional support. You know, the person that was my emotional support while I was pregnant with Christian, we still converse, but not every day. You know, it's like memes on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. when I was pregnant with Nasir, it was a different person. We don't even talk anymore, right? And then now being pregnant, you know, it's a different person. So there is a hint of, you know, nostalgia, like you want to hit those people up. But then at the same time, you got to tell yourself you're worthy of more. You're deserving of more. You're deserving of someone who will come into your life and stay in your life, not just your life, but your kid's life. And that helped too, because I've realized that whoever I'm around is not just beneficial for me. They have to be beneficial for my children. So if you play in me, that means you play in my kids. And I could come back and forth. Like you said, you tolerate a lot of people. You let them stay longer than they were supposed to. I can tolerate you coming in and then leaving, coming back and then leaving. I can, but you're not going to do that to my kids. I don't care who you are, friends, family, whoever. If you want to be hot and cold, you stay where you at. But for this particular life that I'm creating for my children, I want them to have a stable village, and I can't have wayward people. So I have to trust in that to make better decisions for who I allow in our lives, not just mine.
But you know what? People may not look at it this way, but when you lose a friend, when you lose a partner, you grieve.
Absolutely.
I'm still grieving. I'm grieving over the 20-year friendship that I had, but I had to just say one day, you know what? That's it. I'm still grieving. Do I feel like some days I want to just hit her up and be like, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Do I miss those conversations that we used to have every single day, multiple times a day, and share things with each other that we didn't tell nobody else in the world? Yes, I do. But I love myself so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if I do that, then I'm going right back into the same toxic mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be on repeat. And like you said, now it's like, okay, I got kids that are adults that knew this person when they were kids. Now I got Gabby coming along. I don't want no kind of people in Gabby's space.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So it's now it's about not just protecting me, it's protecting her too at the same mm-hmm. time. Now, how do I deal with it? I don't. It's hard. It's hard thinking about how close you were to people and then boom, one day they're no longer existing. They're not dead. They're just not in your life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to think about to the memories, your conversations, the things that you used to say to them, the things they used to say to you, the things you used to do on a daily basis with these people. So now, not talking to them. In the beginning, it's hard. But as time passes by, you learn to deal with it. That's it. You just learn to deal with it. You just learn to be like, okay, they're not in my life anymore. Oh, well. And then sometimes you may peek in and be like, see, let me see what they're doing. And you go see what they got going on and you clap if you want to clap or you just keep it moving. So I can't give no advice on how to deal with it because I'm still dealing with it. Because I still got fresh wounds that are still open. So had I been doing that 20-year situation, I probably better tell you, eventually, time heals all wounds because that's true. That's true. Honestly. So now, no, I just ain't the last question, y'all. I thought it was the last question. I was getting like, dang, boy. Got one more question before the last question. All right, so what does a safe, nourishing relationship feel like now for you?
Safety for me protects my peace. Safety for me, the way I feel when I'm by myself, if I feel that same way when I'm around these people, that's how I know I'm safe. When I'm by myself, I'm not anxious. I'm not worried. My mind ain't running all over the place. I'm calm. You know, let me light a candle and play some R&B. If it feel good like that when I'm around them people, then that's how I know it's safe, whether it's platonic or romantic. Because a lot of people, you got to pay attention to your body. And your body will tell you. You have to pay attention to your body when you're around certain people. Because some people will just call you just to vent. Just to emotionally dump on you. And then when they better, they'll go about their business. And then you feel heavy after you talk to them. But if you can have I always say relationships is like a bank. You got to have as many withdrawals as it does deposits. If you feel like it's a constant interchange, then it's cool. You know, it's just a peace that comes over you, you know, when you know you're in a safe space. So you got to pay attention to your body, pay attention to your spirit, and how it feels around certain individuals, places, and things. And that's how I know when stuff is safe.
But you know what? I'm just starting to get to a point where I feel like I'm safe. Because in 2024, I felt like I was safe. And I've never felt so unsafe after everything really uncrumbled the way it did. I'm in a place now where I don't trust like I used to. I used to trust people from the very moment that I met them and been like, you know, they got good intentions. They're good people. They don't have no reason to fumble me because we're getting to know each other. We don't even know each other. So they don't have no reason to fumble me. But now I'm scared. I got a fear of meeting new people. I got a fear of getting close to people because of what I went through. So it's kind of like I'm dealing with a trauma that I never knew I had. And not only that, I have triggers from it now because it's like the moment that I feel like it's taking me back to those moments, I pull away. I don't give people a chance. So like you said, some people call you, and this has been my life story. People will call me and dump everything on me. Now they feeling better. Now I'm over here heavy because I'm thinking about what they went through or what they're currently going through. Now I got to release what I've got going through. And sometimes, a lot of times, I don't have nobody call to do that. I literally, y'all, when I say I talk to three people on the phone, Sheer being one of them. And most of the time, people know who I'm talking to because I only talk to certain people on the phone. I don't talk to everybody on the phone. And I used to have people that I talked to on the phone more than that. But I don't know. I don't know what being safe means anymore when it comes down to that, because people can make you feel safe for a period of time and you can believe them. And then they turn and it's something different. So now it's about setting those boundaries, literally, y'all. I've been learning so much over these past few years, man, with meeting new people here and there. Boundaries, self-care, showing up for myself. Self-care feels so doggone good, y'all. Setting them boundaries feels so doggone good, y'all. And showing up for yourself. I didn't even know this stuff existed all my life. Had I had been moving the way I move now, child, please. Life would be better. But you have to set them boundaries for people, and you have to create your own safe place, you know, and you have to let people know that, hey, this is me. And then you have to teach them how to treat you. And somebody told me that a long time ago. You have to teach people how to treat you.
Absolutely.
Like, what you mean? But you do. You have, and how you do that is you let them know what you're going to allow and not allow. Period. And if they
don't, you have to have boundaries first, because you can't teach people how to treat you if you don't know how to treat you.
Boom. That's it. That's the lesson right there. You got to learn how to, you got to know how to treat yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And then teach them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, also you got to know what you're not going to allow and what you're going to allow too. Because see, I don't think I knew that. I don't think I knew that all this time. I would just let people do whatever. You know, whether it hurt me, however it happened, I just went with the flow. So, yeah, you're right. You're right. You gotta start loving yourself. You gotta love yourself too, sis. Yeah. You gotta love yourself too in that process. You gotta know who you are. If you don't know all of that, it ain't gonna work. Everything else is gonna fail. All right, y'all. Be down to our last question. How can we teach others, especially the young people, what healthy love looks like?
You have to be the first partaker of it. Like I said earlier, we are the blueprint, and you have to, if you didn't come from healthy love, you have to make sure healthy love comes from you. And whether you are someone's parent, you're a part of their village, or whatever the case may be, you have a duty to show others what healthy love looks like. When I was growing up, my mom would always say, a halfway decent man is better than no man at all. And that was the mindset that I grew up with. So I tolerated a lot. Because in her days, they had those songs like, hey, Barbara, this is Shirley, and all this other stuff. And that was the generation. They tolerated, you know, a little bit just to have something. No, you have to understand that you deserve it all. Not a little bit, not a crumb, not you. You deserve it all. And you have to get into that mindset, and you have to love yourself enough to not settle for anything less. And that shows the next generation, i.e. your kids and nieces and nephews or whatever, that this is the exception. That this is what I need to tolerate moving forward. Nothing less. You know, pamper the next generation. Tell them how to love themselves. Affirm them. Give them all of those things. Water them with, you know, accolades and love and appreciation and showing up for them and support. Water them with those things. So then when they grow up and people do it, it don't become foreign to the point where they'll take the first thing and run with it. It's like kind of like if you're in a relationship and your spouse never tells you that you're pretty. The first person outside of your spouse that tells you you're pretty, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have an emotional connection with them because you don't hear that. But if your spouse tells you and affirms you every day, that's not going to sway you. You need to come better than that, baby. So we have to do that with the younger generation. We have to set them up to the point where they cannot be swayed by the littlest thing, right? And that comes with us being a blueprint and what we tolerate and who we're around and you know, picking better men for our boys and our girls, being better women for our boys and our girls. You know, setting those boundaries, knowing what we want, loving ourselves, and like you said, teaching people how to treat us because we're treating ourselves the way we're supposed to.
Well, to my young people, I encourage you to sit with yourself more often than you need to. It's okay to sit with yourself and get to know yourself, because before you can venture out in this world and become the person that you need to be, you got to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, they're going to treat you like they want to treat you, because you don't even know who you are. You don't even love yourself. Think about what you love about yourself. Think about, you know, who you are. And take some time to look in the mirror, because let me tell you something. I wasn't the type to look in the mirror, because I didn't see nothing I liked. I mean, I didn't love myself for a long time, and it took me a long time to get there. But in order for you to love yourself, you got to be getting some type of love from around you too at the same time. If you're not getting it from home, find your mentor, somebody in your church, somebody you look up to, and fill that void with love. But I just encourage you to sit with yourself, love yourself, get to know yourself, because a lot of times in my age of 45, there's things I didn't know about myself until I just started. One day I was like, oh, I like to do that. I didn't know I like that. It's a lot of things I like to do in my older age, like painting. Painting is something that relaxes me. But I didn't know that until I got older, because I didn't take the time to sit with myself and find out who I was. So don't wait until it's too late to do something with your name. Don't wait till it's too late, because you're going to have to be the blueprint for somebody in your life. Your kids, your grandkids to come. And that starts with you pouring into you so you can be a better you. So today, start using your name for the good. That's my advice. Look at this.
I would say, just like your voice matters, your name also matters. You have been created, as I say on the Blemish Beauty Podcast, you have been created to do great and amazing things, because you have been. And when you are giving your last breath and you leave this earth, you are supposed to have a legacy behind you that will stand the test of time. So anything that you do is going into setting or creating that legacy. And whether you have kids or you don't have kids, be a mentor to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is not blessed to be a mother or a wife or a husband or a father. So that doesn't mean that you don't still have an influence or an obligation, or you don't have the know-with-all to mentor a young child. You know, there are a lot of things that you can do. So it's very important to take into consideration and be intentional about how you show up in the world, because it does matter. Don't let who is president or who don't like you say otherwise. We are powerful. We have always been powerful, especially if you are a part of the melanin correlation. We basically invented half the stuff that everybody uses. So tap into that. Tap into who you are as a person, and really, really do your research, because we are dope individuals. And that hasn't stopped because those people passed on. They've passed it down to us. So we have to take the torch and keep running.
And always, we are healing hearts, inspiring change.
As all the Nikki Nicole was saying, later.